Warning, this podcast contains questionable content of the more adult variety and may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Don't say you haven't been warned.
Carla, put your pants back on.
So, Michael, I have a rant for you this week.
Whoa. Tell the people who we are.
Oh, yeah. So, hi, I'm Carla.
And I'm Michael.
And we're Go Postal Podcast. We are the podcast that's a grab bag of fun and facts and fistery. I mean, history, but it didn't start with an F, and I really wanted to do the alliteration. That just didn't work out.
I just want to let everyone know that we will not fist you if you listen to this show. Sometimes it might sound like we're trying to shove a fist in your ear hole, but we're not, I promise.
Oh, my God. That just brought... I'm sure you just gave... people a whole new finish, Michael. Thanks. Thank you. But I do have a rant. And I think everybody should hear it. And maybe some people agree. And my fears were confirmed. But I don't know about you, but you have an Android phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I do too. And they did an update a few weeks ago, like a whole system update, which was great until, first of all, it started killing my battery. But second, my autocorrect has gone insanely prude. Like, I don't know about yours, but when you try and type in a cuss word, it doesn't learn the one you actually want it to learn anymore. Like, it got rid of all of my cuss word vocabulary.
Huh.
Have you had this issue?
No.
Okay, well, someone else on the radio did. A radio DJ, so you know it's totally believable. So I'm going to read a list of words to you of what my autocorrect tries to say. Shut, PS, duck, fight, giving, click, stick, count, apple, tot, carry, third, and treat. And that list was, okay, for anybody who has sensitivity towards cussing, shit, piss, fuck, fucker, fucking, cock, dick, cunt, asshole, tit, fart, turd, twat. I have literally corrected almost every single one of these words, probably 100 times at least each, since this update. And it will not learn the word fuck. I'm like, I use this all the time, and it will not learn it. I am trying to say fuck, not duck. I never need to say the word duck, almost ever. So
at least not through text message.
I mean, you know, I am in kickboxing. Someone might need to like duck a fist or two. Just saying. There's lots of fisting in this episode. What is going on? But yeah, I'm angry, Michael. I'm very angry, which means I need to get off the roids. And I don't mean steroids, I mean fucking androids, because I'm sick of this shut. Not shit, shut.
Too old for this shut.
Too old for this shut.
But you don't want to go to Apple because those are shitty as fuck.
No, and it's shutty as duck, okay? According to my Android phone.
Shutty as duck. And they will just duck in, drain your battery, and like make your phone go so much ducking slower because they're PSs.
I know, it's frustrating, and the world of technology is out to get us. So, moving on, Michael, what is our theme this week for our part two episode? It's the same as our part one, so.
It's prison, same as part one, so that shouldn't be a surprise to any of you.
Unless you're listening for the first time, and if you are, welcome to our lovely voices. Hello. Let me stroke your earbuds just a little bit more. Hello. Hello. Okay. Michael, you have a prison story for me. I know you do.
How do you know? Have you been going through my things?
I mean, no. Because you told me.
You.
Probably. I don't know. That would be a fitting way for our friendship to end, I think.
A shanking?
Yeah. It'd be very intimate. You could hold me in your arms as I die.
Aww.
Be like, I'm sorry, I really didn't mean to. It'd be like the butler in the Royal Tenenbaums when he keeps stabbing Royal Tenenbaum with his pocket knife.
Royal Tenenbaum. That's the last time you put a knife in me.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Anyway, random side note. Yeah. So let's hear the story. I'm really excited because they're always awesome.
Yeah. This is a really. Really good story. Once again, anonymous, as most prison stories are. So this was just kind of like in response to what's like a nice prison story you had? What's an unexpected prison story you had?
I don't know that they all like got dressed up and did a drag show in prison to boost morale.
Close. So here we go. The jail I was in had some converted actual houses for short timers called quote unquote sweepers. No idea why. To stay in. That's where I stayed. Long timers go to the barracks. 9 p.m. Christmas Eve, fully dark outside, and some long timers are starting to gather quietly around our house, full of short timers. There's a guy that looks like a 300-pound biker, an arsonist, almost completely covered in burn scars. Oh, seriously.
Holy shit.
I asked him what he was in for, and some of the nastiest, toughest-looking guys I've ever seen. Some of the guys in our house weren't small, but we're all starting to look nervous. Something is about to happen, and we can't see the guards.
Oh, shit.
The houses are all surrounded by 7-foot-high steel fences. Suddenly, the big guys start silently coming in and gather around a tree in the front. Some sugar gliders, Aussie flying squirrels, come climbing down the tree trunk. These guys all magically produce bread chunks and snacks from their pockets and spend the next hour gently hand-feeding these squirrels.
Oh my god! I want a sugar glider so bad!
I couldn't believe it, and I said so to my mate. Note that these are the same guys who, after a day working in the kitchen, the knives must be counted and locked in the large walk-in deep freeze, because if they aren't, or one goes missing, it usually turns up inside somewhere.
I mean, they have x-rays to prove it, I'm sure.
And then there's a little note tagged on at the end here. They say, forgot something. Prison liquor. Where do they hide it? Here's one way the guys told me. The beds were tube metal frames. The prisoners bored a hole in the top and stuffed in water and mashed fruit they got from their food. After some time, they bored a hole in the bottom of the bed frame and out comes foul, stinky liquor with apparently a pretty high alcohol content. When the room is searched, the guards find nothing.
That's
disgusting.
That is fucking genius.
That is disgusting.
I'm on board. Just if I ever end up in prison, yes. And come on, it's Christmas. You have to get a little bit woohoo at Christmas. Like, it's mandatory.
You don't have to.
I mean, you gotta deal with family. It helps.
Not in prison.
That's true. Anyway, well, I know what I need to do if I want to avoid family at Christmas.
Go to prison.
It's the only answer.
That's horrible.
That's true.
So strange.
Usually.
I can't imagine what that's like.
Do you want to?
That could never happen to me.
It might.
Lock him away. He's pure evil. Or insane.
Or human. My name's Kate. I have worked as a forensic psychologist, as well as in prisons and as a crisis clinician. My job was to figure out who gets locked up and who gets a key. To find the humanity in inhumane situations. So, are you sure you really want to know?
Yeah, maybe.
Because by the end of the episodes, you just might end up thinking,
I felt better before I knew that.
You can find me at IWB Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, sometimes Instagram, or you can email me at iwbpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm sorry, continue.
I'm warming up my pipes so that I can theme the next sing. Sing the next theme for our upcoming segment.
All right. right, Michael. Oh, well,
that was my beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Voice.
I didn't know you could be an entire orchestra. That was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So this week for our hysterical history, I kind of previewed it with Al Capone, because he was in Alcatraz from our BBBs from last week.
And he's Al Capone. Who doesn't know Al Capone?
I know. So I researched him today and his history and all that. And then I looked up some crazy facts about him, and I had this lovely long thing put together for him. I'm like, man, his like bizarre facts at the end are so much more interesting. So I'll try and get through this fairly quickly, so that I can get to the weird stuff at the end, because that's better anyway. All right. So Alphonse Capone was born in 1899 to poor Italian immigrant parents in Brooklyn, New York. He was one of six children and lived in the infamous tenement housing of the time. Capone's father was a barber and his mother was a seamstress. So his background doesn't really suggest that he would become the infamous gangster that he did become. They moved out of the tenement housing to a more middle-class area of Brooklyn. It was here that Capone started running numbers for the infamous Johnny Torrio in elementary school. Torrio had a gambling and numbers operation near Capone's home, but Torrio moved to Chicago in 1909 when Capone was just 10 years old, but the pair remained close friends. I don't know. I can't imagine remaining close friends with the gangster at 10 years old, but okay. It was a different time. Torrio introduced Capone to Frankie Yale in 1917, so Capone would have been 19 at the time, who gave Capone a gig as a bartender and bouncer at the Harvard Inn on Coney Island. It was there that Capone earned his nickname Scarface. So one night, Capone told a woman that she has a nice ass at the bar. Her brother punched Capone, then slashed him across the face, leaving three unforgettable scars that inspired his enduring nickname. And by the way, he freaking hated that nickname. He hated it. Al Capone married Mae Coughlin just after the birth of their first child in 1918, so about a year later. He moved to Baltimore with his family and decided to walk the straight and narrow. He got a job as a bookkeeper for a construction company. This almost sounds like The Sopranos, if you know what I'm saying. So he was, you know, he was living life on the up and up. But after the sudden death of his father in 1920, Torrio invited Capone to move to Chicago, and he jumped at the chance. So he went there without his family. So Torrio had a booming business in gambling and prostitution, but with the 18th Amendment, aka Prohibition, he saw the lucrative opportunity for bootlegging. Now, with Capone's street smarts, but also his expertise in bookkeeping, Torrio immediately made him a partner. However, Capone was a bit of a party boy compared to Torrio's more, I guess, demure reputation. He was arrested for the first time for hitting a parked taxi cab while drinking and driving. Torrio was able to use his connections to get Capone off the hook. So eventually he moved his family there and he kind of like chilled out a bit. But in 1925, so mind you, Capone would have been, what, 24 at the time? And he's already like a business partner in this insane business. In 1925, after an attempt on his life by rival mobsters, Torrio legged it for Italy, leaving the entire operation to Capone. He once again ignored his mentor's advice to maintain a low profile and instead moved his headquarters to a posh suite in the Metropole Hotel in downtown Chicago. From here, he began living a luxurious and public lifestyle, spending money very lavishly, although always in cash to avoid a trail. All right. Now, I have a question, Michael. Maybe you can answer this for me. How else did you pay for anything else in cash or besides in cash in 1925 Chicago? Like, they didn't have credit cards. Do you have, like, accounts, bank transfers? I mean,
you know how back in the day people would put things on credit and each store would have, like, a list?
But you'd still have to pay it in cash eventually, right?
Yeah, but they'd have, like, a bill of everything.
Oh, yeah, just put it on my tab kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So he had no tabs running. All right, got it. So newspapers of the time estimated Capone's operations generated $100 million in revenue, in revenue annually. That's about $1.4 billion in today's revenue.
Oh my God.
People love their booze, what can I say? However, the media loved Capone and the glamour, money, and danger that surrounded him. He was even seen as something of a Robin Hood, like many gangsters of the time. On this, he's on the side of people as anti-prohibition sentiment grew. However, the more violence that was connected to Capone, the more his popularity waned. So in 1926, just a year later after Torrio left, two of Capone's sworn enemies were spotted in Cicero. Capone ordered his men to gun them down. Unwittingly to Capone, William McSwiggin, what a name. Like, that's his real name. Known as the Hanging Prosecutor, who had tried to prosecute him for a previous murder, was with the two marked men, and all three were killed. So this is when Capone really got on the radar of the law, and they tried to crack down on him. They raided Capone's businesses, where they gathered documentation that would later be used to bolster charges against him of income tax evasion. And just to put it out there, Ness's involvement all of this was actually like really exaggerated. So things were starting to get a bit hot for Capone. President Hoover, the president himself, ordered the federal government to step up its efforts to get Capone on income tax evasion. The Supreme Court had ruled in 1927 that income gained on illegal activities was still taxable. I mean, what's unavoidable? Death and taxes, right? Which gave the government a strong case for prosecuting Capone. On June 5th of 1931, the U.S. government finally indicted Capone on 22 counts of income tax evasion. So during the trial, Capone used his best weapon in his arsenal, bribery and intimidation. Now check this out. Fucking smart judge. At the last moment, the judge switched to an entirely new jury. Capone was found guilty and sent to prison for 11 years because the previous jury had been bribed or intimidated. It was genius.
That is genius.
So Capone was sent to the notorious island prison of Alcatraz in 1934. Isolated there from the outside world, he could no longer wield his still considerable influence, so no more bribery or forcible persuasion. He said, quote unquote, "It looks like Alcatraz has got me licked," he reportedly told his warden. In fact, convict number 85 became so cooperative that he was permitted to play banjo in the Alcatraz prison band, the Rock Islanders, which gave regular Sunday concerts for other inmates. And however, he also, and a lot of people know this, he began suffering from poor health. Capone had contracted syphilis as a young man, and he now suffered from neurosyphilis causing dementia. Interestingly enough, he was one of the first patients to ever receive penicillin in 1940. Huh. But it was just too little too late. So after serving 6.5 years, Capone was released in 1939. So now he's 40. He's still fairly a young man, to a mental hospital in Baltimore, where he remained for 3 years. And with his health rapidly declining, Capone lived out his last days in Miami with his wife. He died of cardiac arrest on January 25th, 1947, at the ripe old age of 49. So, kind of a sad story. But, I mean, he did kill and massacre plenty of people. So, in looking up Capone, that's his story. But check out a few fun facts about him. He fought to have the expiration or quote-unquote sell-by dates put on milk bottles. Supposedly after one of his relatives became sick from drinking milk that had expired. However, his grandniece has a more likely reason. Al Capone was looking for a legitimate business that could fund his lifestyle after the end of Prohibition. It was believed that all stamping equipment for milk expiration dates was under his control. Isn't that awesome? By the way, people, if your milk says it expires on the 25th, give it another week. It's fine. Don't throw away good food. Food waste is a shame. All right. Al Capone's armored limousine, after being seized by the feds, was later used to protect FDR after the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
Yeah. Capone's brother was a distinguished prohibition agent and acted as bodyguard to U.S. President Calvin Coolidge, maybe the fifth most forgettable president. 30 million people witnessed the opening of an Al Capone safe, only to find dirt and an empty moonshine bottles.
Oh.
And empty moonshine bottles, yeah. At age 47, Capone regressed to the mental capacity of a 12-year-old child due to the syphilis. Yeah, and he spent the last years of his life in Florida of the Florida mansion raving about communists, foreigners, and Bugs Moran, who he was convinced was plotting to kill him.
Maybe he did. Who knows?
Maybe Bugs Moran set him up with a prostitute that gave him syphilis. Who knows? I mean, that's like, that's some serious planning. He ran a soup kitchen during the Great Depression. That's pretty cool. I mean, he only had like $1 billion of fortune.
Yeah, he could afford it. But at least he was doing something. Looking at you, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, calling you out, man. In the 1920s, there was a con artist named Victor Lustig, who swindled everyone from respectable bankers to Al Capone himself. He even succeeded in selling the Eiffel Tower for scrap, not once, but twice. He used 24 aliases, spoke 5 languages, and had been arrested 46 times but never convicted. I think I need to do a historical history on this guy.
You should.
3 more facts and I'm done, I promise. New York City pizzerias that serve slices and refuse to use Al Capone's cheese, mind you, he's already in the milk business, would be firebombed. Yeah.
Firebombed?
Firebombed for not using his cheese.
Yeesh.
Right? When someone asked Al Capone about Canadian mobster Rocco Perry, he replied, "I don't even know what street Canada is on." I just had to put that in there. I'm sorry. Officials were so concerned about a breakout attempt that when Al Capone was transferred to Alcatraz, they put the entire section of train cars on a barge out to the island. They wouldn't even transfer him to a boat. They had to put the whole train on it. So, well, that's my hysterical history. Al Capone led a really wild life, and it's definitely not something that could be done today, for sure.
You jogged my memory about something. I think I remember hearing this on a boat tour we went on this summer.
Oh, I wiggled something loose in that brain of yours. Ooh, this is exciting.
You did. There is what is now owned by the Vancouver Yacht Club, this huge like resort that you can only get to by boat, and it's all the way up in Indian Arm, and it's probably takes at least an hour by boat to get there. And we took a boat tour up there, and I think I remember the tour guide saying Al Capone hid out there for a while.
Where was this at?
At some point in his life. In Vancouver.
Oh.
It might have been a completely different gangster, but it was someone.
Oh, okay. I'm going to look this up because I think I know. I don't think it was Al Capone, but I know what you're talking about.
It was... Fuck.
I mean, he's a really popular gangster. Oh, wait. No, I think you mean Shut, Michael.
Apparently, Al Capone's boat propeller is on display in a park in West Vancouver, and it's been stolen a couple of times. That's all I'm getting. All
right.
Al Capone, Vancouver. Oh, wait. No. Wigwam Inn. Yeah. Yep. Wigwam Inn in Deep Cove. It is rumored that Al Capone... hold up here for a while. No one really knows if it's true or not, but John T. Rockefeller went there. Jacob Astor was there. And then rumored hideout of Al Capone, which led to a raid by the RCMP.
Well, there you go.
I knew it.
Yay. You weren't just making shit up. I mean, shut up. Fuck you, autocorrect.
Selling Out Show, a podcast about the world we live in, hosted by a couple of guys who screwed up at every turn. Unscripted and raw takes on a variety of topics every time out. You name it, we talk about it and give a unique, thought-provoking perspective. We'll make you laugh, maybe a little livid, as we provide a new look at life for your listening pleasure. Follow us on Twitter at Selling Out Show, and we're available on all major podcast providers. Plus, you can find us on our network, Infirmary Media, by visiting infirmary.org. So what are you waiting for? Try Selling Out Show right now.
So, I think it's time for Countess Cordelia to come on and share a review about prison or jail or, you know, all the good things. So, let's bring Countess Cordelia out.
Yeah, let me grab her. Are you ready, Countess? Yeah, come on. Oh, yes. Hello. I came a little bit early to see what you commoners do here, and I have to say, I remember meeting young little Alvin. He was quite the looker. I don't know, his scarred face just really gave me the tingles.
Oh, Countess. I mean, I know he was popular with the ladies. I didn't realize he was quite your flavor.
I mean, we ran in the same circles. The man was a billionaire.
This is true. Fair enough. All right. Well, I'm glad you're quite fond of our little Alphonse. He is quite the charmer. Well, do you have a review of us today of some sort of jail or prison or some sort of movie that involved it or anything?
Oh, of course I do. I have come prepared all the time, every day. I am prepared for anything.
I would never doubt that, Countess, please.
Hello, and welcome to the Countess Critiques, a segment in which I, the Countess of Rutherfordshire, critique what my dear mama called la culture populaire. Fluff your tuffet and join me for the Countess Critiques!
I'm sorry. You'll forgive me, Countess. I have no idea what fluff your tuffet means.
You know, tuffet, it's a little seat you sit on. You know, little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet.
I'm not okay. Excuse me, Countess. I need to bring myself back to the moment.
Is a tuffet, how do you say, a double entendre in your society?
No, but I'm making it one, so it's my problem, not yours. Please, Countess, I apologize for interrupting you. That was very rude of me.
I see.
Please do continue.
I see.
I forget my manners.
Well, seeing as how you all were talking about prison, I decided that my critique today is about a film that made me feel trapped in an artificial prison of my own.
Oh, this sounds very dangerous, Countess. Please do continue.
Oh, it was. Let me tell you, it was 2 hours of danger. Ready Player One is about a world that I am still struggling to comprehend. Who would want to live in a world where all you do is spend your time trapped in an endless loop of technological mechanization? Was this film supposed to be a modern adaptation of Dante's Inferno? Because all I could see were different levels of hell. Lord help me. It was like being trapped in a drawing room with a foul-smelling swine constantly shoving its snout in your face for attention.
Oh, Countess, that sounds awful. Absolutely atrocious. I can't even begin to fathom it.
Well, all this having been said, there was one saving grace to the entire film.
Oh, please do tell.
A handsome character that touched me in a way that I haven't been touched since I met the Crown Prince of Sweden all those years ago.
Or Mr. Alphonse Capone, apparently.
Or Mr. Alphonse Capone, indeed, Carla. Who would have believed that I would fall for the wise old hermit, Anorak? But alas, here we are. And I doubt anyone in my social circles will be listening to this show, so I'm comfortable to bear my feelings on Anorak. Oh, how I would love to let Anorak bestow some horizontal refreshments upon me.
Oh, Countess!
I'm feeling
very saucy.
I give Anorak the Wizard 5 out of 5 wooden staffs.
Countess! You're making me kind of... I'm a little bit flushed. I need someone to fan me down. Oh my, I need a cool refreshment.
Well, pardon me. I'm so sorry. I do hate when my emotions get the best of me. They can be so troublesome. How do you deal with these all the time?
I don't. I just forget them. So, Countess, never ever apologize. You are free to say what you need to say here, okay? Because we appreciate your wisdom and all of the wooden staffs that you have to give out.
Well, I shan't be giving out some wooden staff, but I sure would like to take some staffs.
Apparently 5 of them. All right, Countess. You saucy bitch.
As for the film itself, I will have to give it less than half of a swine out of 5 swines. But if you are into torture and want to feel what the Spanish Inquisition must have felt like, then I highly recommend this film for your wretched, wounded soul.
Oh, Countess, I will surely be avoiding this one. I loved the book, but apparently the film does the book absolutely no justice.
Oh, a book. I can't even imagine what a book of this nature would be like. Ugh.
I have a feeling you'd use it for a kindling in a fire.
I wouldn't use it for kindling in a fire. Obviously, the maid would use it for kindling as a fire.
Oh, true. Well, we'll have to call over the maid then. Help her dispose of this atrocity.
Quite. Well, speaking of my maid, I must be getting back to her. She must be so lonely without me there.
Okay, what kind of relationship do you and the maid have? Bow chicka wow wow.
Excuse me? When I'm not there, they don't have anything to do.
Oh, my bad. All right, Countess, you get back to your servants. I'm sure they are dying to wait on you hand and foot.
Oh, yes. Well, I'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Wow, the Countess is quite wound up today about that one, in more ways than one.
She got a little fire down there.
Oh my god, is the Countess a redhead? Because I need to know these things.
Maybe she used to be, or maybe she's back to being a redhead now.
I actually don't need to think about these things.
Yeah, let's move on. You have a random question of the week?
I do! Random question of the week, people! So, how would you escape from prison? Do you know Michael?
I would call up the Countess.
Okay, that's a really good answer. I would just make sporks out of spoons because I really love sporks. And attempt to or I don't know. I think I could use my womanly charms, get my way out. I don't know. I told my friend that's in jail at the moment for bullshit reasons. We won't go into that. I'm angry and bitter. It's fine. That I would somehow sneak a file in using my womanly charms. Because, you know, those things. But apparently they send you through metal detectors, so it wouldn't work.
Oh. Well, get a note from your doctor saying you have an artificial hip.
I would have to say I have an artificial vagina. Let's just, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you hide the file up your vagina, say you have an artificial hip, and they'll be like, oh, okay, well, that's why your vagina's beeping at you.
I mean, my vagina's beeping at you because you're probably pretty sexy, so, you know. Anyway, it's beeping for different reasons. Let's move on. How would you escape from prison? If you want to tell us how, you can write us at P.O. Box 198514, Nashville, Tennessee 37219. And you can also email us at gopostalpodcast@gmail.com. Also, real quick, before I get copyright infringement or something of that bollocks, I forgot to mention that I have to thank history.com and another fun fact site. Oh, Kickass Facts for my Al Capone history and stories for today. So thank you. And please don't write me that I'm ripping things off because I'm not. I am giving credit right now. And Michael, where can these lovely people find us on social media?
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Go Postal Podcast. DM us, comment on our shit, like our shit. It's just so much fun on social media.
Interact with us. I love it. I'll send you shit one of these days.
Or interact with us. Ooh.
5 wooden staffs. I don't know. I got it.
Well, until next time, auf Wiedersehen.
Ciao.